dinner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising.
I'm upstate today, that's why I had to whisper.
Yep, and we are recording live from Skype this week. Sorry guys, we'll be back with Lucas next week since y'all love him so goddamn much.
Get over him.
He's like the fuckboy that you can't get over. And you'll never get over him. You'll love Lucas for the rest of your life.
He's a nice guy, you know?
Podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of two black polyamorous feminists. Living in upstate now, apparently. Listen, Shanika wants to leave me.
Oh, God, I already left.
And she's never coming back. Never! If you want to follow along to the conversation had in this podcast, you can do so by hashtagging InnerHoUprising on Twitter. Mostly, you can do it on Instagram, too. If you're feeling frisky, you can do it on Facebook. But don't do it anywhere else. Poll of the week this week is everybody who shouted us out on International Podcast Day. I didn't know that was a thing until Twitter told me about it.
Tagged me in something.
Good old Akeem. So he's one of the hosts of the week. He shouted us out. Janicia from our good friend Janicia from the podcast Tea with Queen and Jay shouted us out in her top five podcasts. Who else shouted us out? FL Classy, one of our old school listeners, shouted us out on her top five. Black Hippie shout us out on her top five. Yeah, it was a good day,
man. Thank
you, guys. I'll take a sip of my tea really quick.
Just mean my dry ass morning mouth. Self-care tip of the week is about choice. Anytime you catch yourself in a situation where you feel like I should do something, I have to do something, people want me to do something, that's usually an indicator that it's like a toxic situation. Like if you're ever in a place where you don't feel like you have a choice, it's not a good space to be in, and I think you have to reevaluate what's going on and be like, actually, I do have a choice in this, you know, like, you just have more power than you think you do, so if you ever feel like, I should be, I have to be, really stop and think, okay, do I want to do this, is it absolutely necessary, and must I do it in the way that these people or this situation is telling me I have to accomplish this thing, so basically you have more power than you think you have. Just like try to stay attuned to how you feel about certain obligations, and if you can either get out of them or arrange them in a way that makes you more comfortable about pursuing them, you probably can. And that's it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And it's also another great tip. You're like seven for seven. So waiting for the day you fuck up. No, I'm just kidding. Now for that time we call pay a bitch. Yeah. It's going to be an old jazz bartender making bitches pay me. If you guys want to donate to us, we got to pay Lucas. We got to pay SoundCloud.
Bill.
We'd like to eat food. So if you would like to pay a bitch, you can do so by donating anything to paypal.me/innerho. That's it. Yeah, it's very simple.
Also, if you have an app or some sort of product or service that you want us to advertise on this here podcast, or you have friends who like have a beauty business startup or like a magazine that they want to shout out, but run an ad for, we do that. So email us at ihupodcast.com.
Oh, no.
ihupodcast@gmail.com.
I'm so proud.
And we'll give you our rates and the details.
Now on to F That, the segment in which we censor ourselves because we're home. Current events topics of the week.
Thousands of women in Saudi Arabia call for the end of a system that prevents them from performing certain tasks without the consent of a male relative.
We're here to highlight a Saudi Arabian badass by the name of Aziza Al-Yusuf, who is spearheading the signing of a petition to strike down Saudi Arabia's male guardianship system. So I didn't know that this existed
until
this woman brought it to the world. Not to the world, but I'm just ignorant. Here I am saying, wow, this didn't exist until this woman talked about it. Oh, me and my Western ways. So the male guardianship system is like, it's the system that says that women are never full legal adults. They're basically like, for all intents and purposes, they're minors. In order to do certain things like you can't apply for jobs without having, you just need a male guardian to grant you permission to do very important things, like to travel abroad, to travel in general, because women aren't allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, so they need a male to drive them, to apply for renting an apartment, filing legal claims. If you are put into jail for some reason, or you go to a detention center, which a man can send you to, you need the permission of a man to let you out, so they can leave you in a detention center for months. If they're an abusive, unkind person. Basically, women are being treated like minors, and your male guardian. Oftentimes, it is a father. When you're married, it can be your husband. If you are a widow, your son becomes your guardian, or you can have an uncle be your guardian. It's really the son becoming your guardian that it's a little rough to me. One woman said, "You know, how do you expect us to raise this generation where we're forced to be subservient to our own sons?"
Was this always in place, or is this
it's not a new system? I don't know when it started, but I know that it's like definitely. Because Saudi Arabia is a theocracy, and through a very, I'd say it's a very patriarchal and oppressive interpretation of the Quran, because the idea of the male guardianship system isn't, like, explicitly stated in the Quran, and a lot of, like, scholars and feminist scholars have said that this, you know, this is an abuse, this is, like, not, you know, this is, you are reading the Quran this way for your own bed, you know, to make this happen.
Much like how people read the Bible.
Exactly.
So if, like, you have no male family, like, if you're, like, an orphan, so to speak, like, no son, whatever, does the state then take control of you?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. There's also, like, things about, like, you know, as people die, you have to transfer guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. The Human Rights Watch... did this huge like study survey called like Boxed In that goes into a lot more detail about the situation. So if you look it up on the Human Rights Watch, I think they'd have that information there.
Okay, yeah, I will link that below.
Yeah, it's really comprehensive. But yeah, so that's just a system that's a little rough. And even the UN did like a not like a study or review, like it's like a human rights review. What's it called? I just said it performed a little review. I don't know why I wrote it like that.
Just a little study. They just looked at it.
They just took a peep. but they basically said that, you know, this system is, you know, violating rights. And so Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah, I don't know if it was this guy, King Abdullah, I don't know if he was king at the time, but basically, Saudi Arabia came up with, like, a vision, I think so, they came up with a vision 2030, something like that, where they were supposed to abolish this law, and they're going to...
I hope it's 2030. Hope it's not 1,000 years from now.
You're right, 2030 doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we'll get to it. One day, ladies.
When you're long dead, we'll fix this problem. The government said it would continue to develop women's talents, invest in their productive capabilities, and enable them to strengthen their future and contribute to the development of our society and economy. But, so the people have been appointed to, like, councils and can vote, have been encouraged to work. I think the guardianship ban, like, you can apply to a job without a guardian, but it kind of backs, it's not really, this vision, if it was even, like, you know, if they even meant it, won't really be achieved under this guardianship system because, like, they're not enforcing, there's no, like, repercussions for jobs or businesses that ask women to
have a male guardian.
Yeah. So it's like, you can go and apply, but if this company wants to ask you anyway, they can still do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how voting rights are like, constantly under attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, you can legally vote, but, you know, we're going to impose something.
Here are all these obstacles.
Yeah, or there's going to be some white man with a shotgun standing outside of the polls, and you're not going to...
Yeah, or that too.
Or you're going to be brave, and you're going to go vote anyway. People are... God bless black people. There's all those people who have, like, really fought for their rights and put their life at stake. Like this woman, like, she says she's not worried for her safety. You know, she got so 1,400 people signed, women signed this petition. Some signed as anonymous, some signed their full names. Obviously, her face is out there.
Yeah, she's...
They started a hashtag.
That's brave as fuck.
Yeah, it's bold. So she is really...
brave and bold, like Kylie Jenner's braids.
Yeah.
That's why that statement can never make sense.
Like, Kylie Jenner's braids.
And what this woman is doing.
Yeah, no.
Totally on the same tier.
It's like, I said yeah, but I was like, wait. And on the flip, just on the flip side of this, some women say, some Saudi women are saying that they, you know, they like the guardianship system.
Mm-hmm.
Although, so I read two articles by women who said this is, it was basically, like talking about the Western point of view where we like to look at other countries and say, oh, well, with them, they're so oppressed. And these women basically said, you know, my male guardian is, you know, my father, he's helped me, he's the most supportive person ever. Another woman said, yeah, you know, my husband, he's supportive, he helps me, he loves me, we help each other out, or he, you know, he always makes good decisions for me or something. And like, I get it, okay, it seems like this guardianship system works for you because your guardian isn't like an abusive patriarchal male with an ego who's trying to, you know, limit your decision making ability.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it seems like, you know, you have a job interview, he'll drive you to the job interview, but if somebody wants to keep you in the house and you can't, you don't, they don't want to take you on this job interview, you lose that opportunity. So it's just like saying, it's like black people being like, oh, Black Lives Matter isn't a thing, I've never been shot, I've never been stalked, you know, I'm rich and I'm fine.
Yeah, just because you're living good in a oppressive system doesn't mean the system is not oppressive inherently.
Yeah.
One group of people having literal control over another group of people.
Yeah, so. And I get some people are right with that. In terms of like, you know, it's again, it comes down to choice. If you choose to have do the male guardian situation, you feel like that is your interpretation of the Quran. It fulfills you, makes you happy. Mm-hmm. That is your choice. But like, if you are fighting to strip other people of their ability to choose. Especially if it's just a religious interpretation, which those can go like a million ways sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you need to rethink your whole life. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No. But, I mean, to force an entire... I don't believe in forcing an entire country to like adhere to a religious code in general, but like it's hard because there are different interpretations of a religion.
Yeah, exactly.
If everyone in the country doesn't agree with that interpretation, then shit ain't gonna work out.
Yeah, that's why.
But like in your own personal home, yeah, totally. You could be like, "Hey, you're my guardian. Can I go on this job interview?" And he's like, "No." And you're like, "All right, fine." But
if that person's
as a
your
law,
son.
No, mom, you can't. Now buy me a PS4, goddamn it.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I was thinking of.
Oh, that's
like little boys forcing their moms to get PS4s for them.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's much worse than that, though.
But I think that's I think they did, there's like an animated accompaniment to this Human Rights Watch story. Mm-hmm. So there was something like that where a woman was, she's a cardio surgeon, and she gets invited to speak at a conference, and she's like, "Hey son, will you permit me to go?" And he's just like, "No, I don't feel like it."
Damn.
Yeah, and I think, I'm sure it's taken, they were all taken from like real stories. So that's like, all right, wait.
What a little shit.
Yeah, way to be a bitter-ass bitch, kid.
What the fuck is his problem?
Yeah.
What does he mean he doesn't feel like it? You don't have to do it.
No.
He just doesn't drive you there.
And it makes me think of, like, you know, the system is hurting men as well, because then suddenly you are responsible for...
Yeah, totally.
You're, like, taking care of your wife. Like, you don't... That's a person, a whole person who can be independent, exactly, making money, contributing... And if you're, like, kind of limiting her, you're saying, okay, I'm going to drive her around, tell her what to do, I'm going to make all the money, and it's like, you can have a split income.
Good point. Great point.
The alternative right, or alt-right, is an ultra-conservative populist nationalist movement. Like Donald Trump, its rise has been described as a reaction to increasing political correctness, minority rights at the expense of majority rights, and globalization.
What's new in anti-blackness, you ask? The University of Michigan... is fucking up. Well, you know what? So there's this group, this hate group called the alt-right, which John just informed me that it's like this random group of trolls who will like send like pictures of like dead bodies to like Holocaust survivors.
Fuck.
Yeah, like the worst kind of internet troll.
that is the worst kind of, I was going to say person, but I guess they're not murdering anyone.
That we know of.
What's the point of what they're doing?
I don't know if hate.
Just to be a shit?
Hate is not necessary. It's not very rational. So what this group did, or people affiliated with this group did on the University of Michigan campus, is they posted, there were two posters that went up. One poster was titled, "Why White Women Shouldn't Date Black Men." Mm. It's already fucked. And another one was just like a, it was like a really pro-white sign.
What do you mean a pro-white sign?
I'll do that one first. So it's just a sign that it was like, it said, it said people of European descent with an exclamation point. And then it said, stop apologizing and stop living in fear. Yeah, it's already fucked. It said, and here's the tenets. White people exist.
Wow.
White people.
I did not know that.
Right? White people have the right to exist.
Wow. That's great.
And then, ready? Yeah. White people have the right to exist as white people.
What the fuck? It's like, is that being hindered? Was that ever a question in anyone's mind?
I think we all know that white people exist.
We definitely know that. That one might be the most obvious one. I see that people get fucked up at the other two when, like, black people get jobs and stuff like that, but, like, come on. You guys are existing pretty strong out there. Like, it's going well. It's going fairly well.
Yeah, it could be going better if you stop, like,
it could be going better for all of us. We wouldn't be in this imminent doom where the world's gonna explode.
Exactly. Yeah.
In, like, 40 years. Peak oil, people. It's a real thing. Anyway.
It is. I think it is, though. Yeah. That's when famines and droughts and shit happen. But we don't have to go into peak oil on this particular podcast.
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't.
But it's terrifying. Just people don't know how much we need oil. Like, everything is made out of oil. The moment it's gone, the society crumbles.
We're all fucked, and there's nothing being put. There's not much being put in place.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not having
kids. Dumb. It's just so dumb. Okay.
just gonna live off the fat of the land. But if you try to live off the fat of the campus and you stumble across this poster,
perfect.
You'll be very upset. So this one sign is why white women shouldn't date black women. It is one of the most disgusting posters I've ever seen. Basically lists a bunch of pseudo facts and observations.
Is that this facts about black men thing?
Yes. One is white women are increasing their likelihood of being abused by dating black men. It says they're going from a 12.4% chance of experiencing abuse to a 1,140% chance.
Okay. In my head, I was like, oh, is that like true? Is it? What? 1,004%?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, all right, sure. You're sure.
It's already dumb. Let's continue.
He's more likely to have HIV. And it states an HIV statistic. And the thing is that I think it's queer people of color.
Black men.
I'm not sure if it's particularly men, but like black men do have higher rates of HIV than white men. This is true. Mm-hmm. But that is without context. Like, it's not like all the black men have been born and raised with HIV. It's usually a matter of like HIV stigma, access to condoms and proper health care that a lot of white people have access to that simply allows them to not get HIV as frequently as black men. So even though I don't know if the statistic that they stated was like the actual, because I know we did an episode where we talked about this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were our facts, but it's not like untrue, but it's not it's just like a fact of, what do you call it? It's not like our fault. That makes sense. It lacks context.
Exactly. It's a decontextualized fact.
And
that can fuck things up. It's like, like when people are like, white people get killed by the police more, but like black people get killed at a higher frequency.
Yeah.
Because like if you think about how population works and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's learning what disproportionate meant. Really changed me, because I was like, yeah, I'm down for this Black Lives Matter thing. I just don't get what that word means. I'm like, oh, we're a smaller percentage of the population, but a greater percentage of our total population is being affected by poverty systemic, medical injustice, environmental injustice.
That's how it goes.
That is not fair.
That's how those maths work.
Yeah, exactly. Math. the poster also said that your kid won't be smart because based on race, black people have the lowest IQ. That is a false thing. That is like the essence of racial
eugenics. I'm getting eugenics-y in here.
Yeah, eugenics.
There's like mini Hitlers on this campus. What the fuck is going on?
Right?
What are they doing? Like, are they studying? Do they have exams?
Yeah, so you're just sitting around
extracurriculars,
making up statistics. It must be like the creative writing students being really, really imaginative.
Play beer pong like normal college students. God damn.
Yeah, right? Play beer pong and don't rape anybody. Like,
right, exactly. Because I was thinking about the frat party situation. And I was like, well, I guess that's their other option.
Right?
It's either good old white campuses.
Yeah, no. Like, calm down. And then it also said you should probably just avoid black men. And then it lists, I think it's like two or three stories of where black men have violently murdered white women. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it happens because
okay. Everything in the world that could have possibly happened has happened. Doesn't mean it's like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a thing, like an epidemic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Especially because most crime is it's interracial, not intraracial. Mm-hmm. So most mm-hmm. white people are killing most white people.
Exactly.
You know, it's just common. So for them to be like,
white on white crime.
It exists, but it's not a problem because white people control the news and the media. So they're not going to talk about white-on-white crime. And they're not going to... Yeah. It's just, like, shitty. When you focus on, like, what you see as the pitfalls of other races, you're, like, not talking about the issue at hand, which affects every single race and every single person. You're like,
exactly.
Like, poverty is... Like, people think that black people are poor. We may be disproportionately poor, but there are some white people living in extreme poverty who need help and federal assistance and would have benefited from Bernie's goddamn message. But, mm-hmm. you know... I don't know. Oh, sorry. I just had to say Bernie's name. It just gives me hope. I'm wearing a Bernie shirt right now, actually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just like if you...
Also, in regards to police crime, there was, like, that, like, recently, like, a little boy. I'm not sure if he was a disabled boy, but he probably was, because, like, mostly disabled people also get killed by the police.
Yeah.
It's like a little boy who got killed by cops. It wasn't even, like, white cops either, and, like, where are all the All Lives Matter people, you know? Like, police crime in general, police abuse in general... Fucks with everyone.
It does.
You can't just say all lives matter when you want people to shut up about police abuse.
That's how you know all lives matter.
Because that's how
to shut people up.
Exactly.
It's not active. You have concerts to raise awareness of all lives, but when it's like the white lives matter, or like I guess blue lives matter. Like people aren't blue. They don't. You know, like that's not a thing, either. It's all reactive. Yeah. Like if Black Lives Matter hadn't existed, all these things wouldn't be here.
Because exactly.
You don't really care. You're like protecting your ego or like your fragile perception of the world. And it's like you're hurting yourself because you're thinking like, oh, fuck those Black Lives Matter people. And then that's your son who dies. And then how do you rationalize it? You know, mm-hmm. suddenly you're in the position of all these mothers who've lost sons or mm-hmm. daughters. And like, who are you going to seek out for help? You're going to go to some white hate group. I don't know.
Good old alt-right.
You're
like, how do we handle this situation? Let's just send them Holocaust pictures.
What the fuck? That'll teach them.
Will that ever help?
No, it will never help. Unless I'm missing out on something and I should have been sending Holocaust pictures my whole life. I don't know.
Anyway.
Segue into some good things. So the Black Student Union was the group that saw this and... They were outraged and they started being like, hey, what's going on here? This isn't good. And so they posted a picture. Someone was posting positive messages about black men. And one of them is like, facts about black men. It's like 93% of black males don't suffer from substance abuse issues. 7 out of 10 black fathers ages 15 to 44 who live with their children, bathe, dress, diaper, and help their children use the toilet daily. The highest ratio of any race. There are 59% more black men in post-secondary education than jail. 3 out of 4 black men are drug-free. 7 out of 8 are not teenage fathers. 11 out of 12 finish high school.
Aww.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, black men.
Yeah.
I just had like a slideshow of all the black guys I know and love in my life.
Yeah. It's just, same as like, oh yeah, you're leaving your kids. I'm like, well, my dad's been here for me. My uncle's been here for my cousins.
Yeah.
Like, people... Yeah, it's like this. It's like the warm, fuzzy stuff, or just the facts, real facts. That just like it's like okay, this hate is really based in nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what kind of gives me hope sometimes. I'm just like, oh, your hate is so irrational.
Mm-hmm.
That like you know, it's like sometimes it can be, it can be easy to like believe hateful people or feel like your facts aren't true because they have these numbers that they pulled from somewhere. And, like, mm-hmm. I feel like people, like, hate people, not, like, people who, like, hate speech promoters or, like, people in hate groups have all these facts and numbers. And, like, I'm not always prepared with, like, oh, well, here's the actual percentage. I'm like, I just know this to be true.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you as a person in this community at large, having experienced life as a Black person.
Yeah, I
can feel what they're saying is not true, but then they have all these, like, because you can spin a stat in any way. You can spin a number in any way. It makes you feel all weird and stuff.
Yeah,
makes you don't get tripped up, guys.
Yeah, don't. Like, if someone is... You can always leave a situation where someone is spouting hate, usually.
Yeah, because if there's, like, an actual person who's, like, working in public health, for example, is not gonna, like, shoot out a whole bunch of statistics and be like, and that's why Black men suck, you know? Like, they're gonna, like, base it in context and stuff like that. And they're also gonna base it in solutions. So if someone is, like, giving you a whole bunch of statistics and... doing shitty stuff with it, then their intentions were not good in the first place.
Exactly. Walk away from that. Some people like to engage. I don't like to engage with people who are spouting bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it takes away from my day gets ruined. Like, that's happened too many times.
It's tiring. It's emotionally tiring.
It is. I don't have the effort. Yeah. You know, all I can do is make this podcast and just put my headphones in.
Yeah,
or disengage, be like, I have to go to the bathroom, and I'm never coming back, because I don't want to listen to anything else you have to say to me.
Wow, that Black bitch is taking a long shit.
Yes,
according to my studies, Black bitches take really, really long shits. 1,000 times the percentage of white women shits. Get you a white woman.
This should be an infographic. That's something that I wish Lucas was here, because that would be
good. Yeah.
If you don't properly and officially bring your claim within the statute of limitations, you are forever barred from receiving any kind of justice.
I guess I can keep this one super short because it's just good. So California, as starting 2017, is lifting its statute of limitations on rape in light of the Bill Cosby case. So there will be no limit to how long you can wait before you report a rape or child molestation or sexual assault. You can come forward at any time. In some states, it used to be like you only had 10 years or until you turned a certain age. Meaning that, if somebody raped you and you
turn 21 and you're fucked or whatever.
What'd you say?
As if then you turn 21 and you're like fucked.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you're, assaulted as a kid, how do you process that? If you don't even understand what sex is or what consent is, it's stupid to expect people to be like, all right, I'm going to speak up about this really painful, hurtful, embarrassing thing right at this timeline. It's going to work out for me. Mm-hmm. And then that person, it's like, if they rape you or assault you, and then 50 years later, it's like 20 years passes, and it's like, oh, you can't report anymore, but they still committed that crime. So they're basically being let off the hook because they traumatized you.
I mean, it's actually not beneficial for the state at large because they could still possibly be raping other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. It takes people time to admit rape, so you should, let the first person speak up. You can throw that ass to jail forever.
Exactly. Or something else.
For 6 months.
Yeah, or 6 months. Or for 3 months. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. There's another state that, where is it? Nevada. Changed their limit from 4 years to 20 years, which is not enough.
It's progress.
It's progress, but it's still not enough.
It's like Hillary Clinton progress, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like bare minimum liberal progress.
I guess my bare bones under... I've been, really staying... Oh, no. I've been staying out of this election, but...
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you mean, for the most part. I just gotta, do a Hillary study so I can really understand... We need to understand this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping she's the next president. I just want to know why I'm hoping. Well, I know why I'm hoping. It's like I'm fear hoping.
Everything is fucked if she's not, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm just... The fucking what is his name? Gary Johnson? Oh. The Libertarian candidate? He's funny now. Like, he's fucked up 3 times, and the first 2 times it was like, oh, god damn it, this asshole. But once you fuck up 3 times, you're a comedian in my book. He asked one of his aides who Harriet Tubman was.
No.
Yeah. It's all good.
No.
I mean, pray to God. No, I mean, that's not going to happen or whatever. But please, people, just because, like, you're mad about Bernie, don't throw your vote to a dumbass Libertarian candidate.
No, don't.
Because him and Bernie are complete opposites. Do some fucking research before, like, get off Reddit and do some actual research about who that guy is.
Yeah, especially if, like, if you're in a state where your vote matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
those
New York
swing states, please.
Voting for Hillary. I'm going to vote for Hillary, but really, like, I don't think I need to, because, like, Hillary has New York. But if
yeah, she has it in the
But
bag.
If you're in a place where, like...
I'm just gonna write in dick-ass balls.
Just for fun, who'd you vote for? My mommy, you know? But, like, yeah.
Myself.
Do your research. I knew a lot about Bernie and a little about Hillary, so that's why I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I like Bern. Mm-hmm. But, like, now that he's not there, I'm like, okay, my knowledge of Hillary could be a little better. Especially mm-hmm. if I'm gonna shit on her. I gotta... have a reason, you know?
Yeah.
I am admitting my ignorance here.
Okay. That's okay. A lot of people do it. A lot of people just didn't trust her. A lot of people were just sick and tired of, like, seasoned politicians. Although Bernie is a seasoned politician, but he doesn't carry himself like a seasoned politician. I mean, he was calling himself a fucking socialist. But, yeah.
He's a seasoned socialist.
Now's the time, politician. Folks.
Yeah. Now's get activated. Get active.
Get activated.
Yeah.
Just imagine someone, like, charging him.
Like, full burka. That's what it is.
Now's the time, people. Everyone, emergency burger rooms. Hunker down.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I love jokes. Up next.
I fell in love with him the way you fall asleep. Slowly. And then all at once.
Up next in some... I don't know.
It's sad, but it's cute. I mean, everybody dies sometime, you know?
Everybody dies sometimes. Yeah. Other times, no one dies.
Yeah.
So this couple, they were called the Fault in Our Stars couple. Katie Donovan and Dalton Prager. I guess they're married, so it was like Mr. and Mrs. Prager. They were a couple that had cystic fibrosis, which is a life-threatening disorder that damages the lungs and digestive system. I think you, like, produce a whole bunch of mucus or something, and it makes it hard for you to breathe, and it, like, blocks a whole bunch of your very important body things.
I see.
I have a very clear definition here, but I don't want to read it all.
That's okay. I think we get it.
Yeah, it's just a bad disease. And so yeah. Basically, people who have this disease usually don't live past, like, 36. So, one day... So Katie and Dalton, they met each other in, like, some online chat room. I think Katie messaged him on Facebook. I think she heard that he had this disease. And she found him online, the way that people, you know, you seek out a community and you find people. And was like, hey, your lungs aren't doing well either. Mine aren't doing too well. Keep fighting through it. And, like, was very encouraging. And they they developed an online relationship.
Aww.
And, you know, started to fall in love. Which is, like, you know, I think that's really fucking great. You know, you find somebody who's going through what you're going through, and you both happen to like each other, even love each other. Like, that's sweet. But what's his name? Dalton, unfortunately, had this disease. The acronym is, like, CF, and it's a really long medical word. But he had it was an infection that if Katie hung out with Dalton, she could get this infection, and it could severely shorten her life. So she could either, you know, go and be with him or, you know, just go and meet him or not. So she decides to go, and they meet up. I think it was on one birthday. The reporting of this was strange. She was either 19 or 17 or something when they met up for the first time. And she says when she saw him, he was like leaning against like his porch and like sunglasses, looking all cool. And she just like, yeah, she just like walked up to him and like just kissed him on the mouth. Just like, mwah. And she was like,
give me your life-threatening disease, babe.
Basically, right?
That's sweet.
Yeah, but yeah, she's like, I'm not even that kind of girl, you know, but I saw him and
I became a whore.
Exactly. So basically people were saying that she was being stupid. It's like, why would you put your life at risk for love? That's silly. But she said, I feel like they're putting, oh, oops, just kidding. That's in reference to her Medicare system. Wrong quote. she said, I told Dalton I'd rather be happy, like really, really happy for 5 years of my life and die sooner than be mediocre happy and live for 20 years.
Totally agree with that.
In which,
like, what's the point of just extending your life if you're not going to do what the fuck you want to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if your quality of life is poor. And it's a tough disease. It seemed really painful. After they met, their condition started to worsen. They both had to go on, like, oxygen tanks full time. You know, so they were developing complications. And it seems like a difficult disease to go through or to deal with. And, you know, why are you... It's not that they're being stripped of their agency, because obviously they're adults and they chose to do what they wanted to do. But to say that, like, you and your able-bodied, non-diseased self can tell somebody who has a very specific disease and, like, you know, specific life, how they should be living and what they should be doing is dumb.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's also the question of, you know, people with like, terminal illnesses, like, having the ability to choose what they want in terms of, like, their love life or their life in general. It's just, like, the will of the family. Like, oh, you might want to keep somebody around for as long as humanly possible, but that person is still a human being with rights, you know, so far as I'm concerned, like, rights and choice.
If they're ready to go, they're ready to go. Exactly. Or if they don't want to, like, if they want to forego treatment, then they can totally do that.
Yeah.
Their fucking choice.
So they died this week. That's the point. They passed away. They're no longer with us.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You laughed.
That's the way you said it.
Sorry. So I realized I forgot to say that she died September 22nd, which was my brother's birthday. And then he died on the 17th.
Aww.
Yeah. So that was sad. But also, you know, they loved each other. She had a hard time with Medicare and Medicaid. I think if you look into her case, it really shows how our medical system is failing people. Towards the end, she said, I feel like they're putting dollar signs on my life. I don't want to die because of money. That's stupid. Nobody should have to do that.
Oh, and my fucking God.
That's kind of what happened to her.
That sucks.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah, she had insurance that, like, she couldn't do the specific surgery because she had this infection. She had to go out of state to get it, but they wouldn't do it on her. Insurance wouldn't cover it, so they couldn't take her. And it's like she was out of the hospital. They discharged her from the hospital, but then they're like, but then she had to go back in like 6 days later. And they're like, because if you're like Medicaid or Medicare, you have to wait 60 days or something. And something like that happened to me once where like I needed a new inhaler, but they wouldn't give me my inhaler because I had to wait 60 days for it. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I need to breathe like today, not 60 days from now.
This is why I'm on the side of marriage, you know?
Yeah.
Because if Akeem doesn't marry me, I might have to force him. No, I'm just kidding.
Might just get that on the books, yeah, marriage.
Shit is fucked. I do think it's, I guess it's not cute because, you know, death ain't cute, but, like, they died so closely after each other.
Yeah, that's apparently a thing. It's called heartbreak syndrome, where I think it's couples, usually this happens with elderly people, but they become codependent on each other to, like, cope with stress. And when one person dies, literally stress hormones are emitted from the body that can, like, shut your body down. Damn. So, like, couples dying very close to each other is, that's a real thing with, like, a medical thing behind it. That's science for you.
My grandpa died 1 year, like, a year after my grandma died, but it was, like, on their anniversary the day before her birthday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Sweet, but also...
sad.
R.I.P. Grandpa.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It happened that long ago. I'm fine.
That's it for rest in peace, Katie and Dalton, and everyone who has died in the history of the world.
R.I.P. Hitler.
And as Louis C.K. once said, most people who have ever existed are dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
All right. That's it for.
That's it for fuck that. Now onto fuck it. The topic of the day.
What though? I think this is the first time in our history where the topic of the day is a little unclear. And I'll
wait. Is it not blood play?
So there's blood play is like a phrase.
Oh, we should say why we're doing this.
Oh yeah, it's October, guys. It's like Halloween spooky mystical season.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't know. There's just going to be some great Halloween pics on the gram. I'm going to go hard this year. Because you've gone hard forever.
Yeah, since maybe like sixth grade. I've been doing the damn thing, I'd like to say.
I used to go hard as well for Halloween. Like, I go to school dances, but I would just use all my clothes.
Love it.
Thanks.
Love Halloween. Yeah, so for the next 4 weeks, we're giving you back-to-back-to-back cool topics.
Yeah.
In the genre of, like, spookiness.
Yeah. And, neither Sam nor I are BDSM people. You know, yeah, we're not a part really of the community. So this episode we started off with the idea of blood play, stuff that involves sex and blood. Mm-hmm. And so after I was doing some research for it, and I started to get into like the back rooms of Reddit where people were asking, I want to cut my girlfriend because she likes that. And then it gets weird. Yeah, you know what?
Just tell us about it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So I was like, that's interesting. So yeah, people just like to cut sexually. That's a thing. In terms of, so BDSM, I feel like this should be like a BDFM for the New York City train system. So basically there's the rule of safe, sane, and consensual, which maybe I said this, maybe I didn't. Basically whatever you're doing should be safe, shouldn't be insane, and should not be non-consensual.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, right? Just you got to keep it so that, you know, you're having sex, you can keep making love to that person because you didn't kill them or hurt them in some horrible way. But, so, blood play, I was like, all right, blood, knives. So, discovered this thing called knife play, like Columbus. I just discovered it. So, the preface is that this is called RAC, which is risk-aware consensual kink.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which is a kind of edge play, which is it's on the borders or a little bit beyond the borders of what is safe, sane, and consensual. Whoa. Just a preface. So what I'm saying here, just like, I had to talk about the whole choking thing. I was like curious about like what it's like to be choked.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's not entirely safe, sane, and consensual, even though that's a very common thing that people like to explore.
Well, if you choke the right way, where you're, like, not crushing someone's windpipes, but are, like, pressing against the blood vessels on their neck, which is, like, the proper way to choke.
Yeah. But it could go wrong. You know, that's why it's not entirely safe.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, because you could do somebody some serious. Like, you can give somebody rope burn, but it's not usually going to cut off circulation in a way that's going to, like, you have to amputate their leg or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, I don't know that much about BDSM.
I've given some pretty severe rug burns. Unless you said rope burn, in which case I've never used rope.
But rug burn is hilarious.
All right, we're on Skype. Give me a fucking break. Continue.
Okay, so it's edge play. So edge play is activities with any risk of serious or permanent damage, even death. Activities that present...
some high stakes.
Yeah, there's some high stakes. Better be a good old cum, you know? Better be great.
You gotta nut like 15 times and then die.
At least 50 times. activities that present an increased risk of spreading disease.
Yeah.
Or activities that may present a significant psychological trigger.
Okay.
Which knife play is. Mm-hmm. So it's basically just menacing somebody with a knife. Of course it changes. You know, you can be tied up. And then somebody just like runs a knife along your skin. And this isn't necessarily like, they're not like cutting you.
There's just a knife involved in the situation.
Yeah, and they can, in the way that they are rubbing it, can cause like scars or little blisters that do take a while to heal. But based on some of the research I did, so to my knowledge, it is not commonplace for people to actually be cutting other people. It's just simply the kind of the thrill and the fear of being lost in a scene where you are being menaced with a knife. So things that you should discuss first. If somebody has ever, you know, is knife play a psychological? You shouldn't just spring this on somebody. Don't just appear with a knife like
a knife and condoms.
Yeah,
like, and some whipped cream.
Like,
hey girl, hey.
It's like especially if you're like doing acting, it's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, and it's like, wait, what? Yeah. You know, because then you can get hurt. Because like, you just don't be stupid.
Yeah.
You want to discuss if you should wear gloves, because this is also, if you could cut somebody and they have some sort of blood pathogen, you are increasing, you're touching somebody's blood potentially. So you may want to wear gloves. You want to keep your knives clean. That sounds so scary to me. So there's like a whole bunch of things for keeping your knives clean. It's like, one, always sanitize. Mm-hmm. And also don't put a knife back into a sheath or a holder until you have cleaned it. Otherwise, you were just putting a knife into an unclean holder. Yeah. So every time you go to use it, you are risking spreading disease to that person.
Yeah.
And so this one part, so it's just so dangerous. So with this kind of play, you know, I've seen like one BDSM scene in like House MD, like the show, where it was like a fake break-in and like the guy, it just looked like a real break-in scene, but they were obviously kidding. Not kidding, but just kidding. They're obviously like playing it out. But it's like people are trying to experience real fear and get the real sensation of being in that situation. Mm-hmm. And so with a situation like that, you know, if you have a sharp object and somebody moves very quickly.
Oh, God.
You know, so you like, so if you're going to have a knife, so if you're going to do like knife play with ropes, you want to have that person secured. And like, if you're going to have a knife near somebody's face, like that person could like jerk or move in a way that you can't predict. And you could cut them or injure them. So it suggests basically that you become like a sword master. You have to be able to react quickly. Even when you're using knives, you should test it out on yourself first to see how hard, how much pressure. Because like you could have a knife to somebody and what if they sneeze, you know, and their body flinches and you cut them. And you don't want to, you like, you never want to have your knife in a place. There's like, I saw this diagram where it's like places where you can
safely hold the knife.
Yeah, very low risk places. Like, obviously, don't hold it over somebody's like artery.
Don't do that. Right.
If you love them, don't do it. So yeah, and that was like scary to me. So obviously, I'm not the kind of, I wouldn't try this out.
Oh yeah, this freaks me out.
You can use dull knives, which you know decrease the risk of actually hurting somebody. Which I feel like if there was a way to go for me, if I was ever to try this, that would be a way.
Does anyone do this with, like, butter knives?
See, because, like, that just seems so unsexy to me. But also,
those are the ugliest knives.
See, the thing about this...
Maybe fork play?
Spoon play. Spork play.
Oh.
So in order to... This was something I thought was pretty cool. Is that, so people, if they use dull knives, they will either chill the knives to give it like a sharper feeling, or they'll electrify the knives. There's like
how the fuck do you do that?
There's this device that'll just like give something an electric charge. That way, it said that way it actually feels like it's flaying your skin. I was like, there's definitely some sort of commercial parody in there for like some like, are you engaging in knife play? I mean, and it's totally, well, is it a good parody if that somebody's, like, genuinely like, oh, that sounds great. Sounds awesome. Or am I just making fun of a group of people who are enjoying themselves?
Probably.
Right? So, never mind. It's a bad idea.
If it feels like it's flaying your skin, like, does it leave a mark? Like, are you getting burns there?
That I'm not sure about. I think that also depends on what you're looking to do with your partner.
Ah, yeah, you might want to get a little burned.
Yeah, you might. Or like, that's why with BDSM, there's a thing called, so when you're doing an intense scene, you should have, one, a first aid kit of sorts nearby, in case.
And an EMT on standby.
Yeah, good old.
just employ a key.
Yeah.
Have him watch your scene.
Which,
wow, that'd be
that would be a great business, right?
Yeah, like sex EMTs. Yeah.
And then there's. So you want, like, ointments and stuff, like, if you, like, especially people who bruise, like, they have, like, things that they do afterwards. It's called, like, aftercare for scenes. Mm-hmm. And there's also this thing called sub drop, where, like, the sub, like, there's the dom and the sub. And the sub, like, after an intense scene, it's, like, might feel a little traumatized or, like, emotional. So you have to be, that's why, like, you need a lot of aftercare, like, cuddling, just to reassure the person that, yeah, it was just a scene. Love you. Aww. You know how it is.
You're not an ugly piece of shit on the bottom of my shoe.
Even though I said that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just making sure that person is okay. Because also with scenes, like you can like push somebody to the limit and they'll stop you, but it's like, they probably stopped you. It's like, okay, that was too much. You just want to address that person's emotional and physical needs. And it is like a loving loving consensual relationship. Mm-hmm. So you just want to make sure that that person's okay.
Yeah.
Not unrelated. So also people have felt if they do like, I don't know if you've seen this, where like people wrap themselves in plastic. like a
during sex.
Yeah, as a sexual thing.
No, I've never seen
like,
that
like
before.
To like restrain people. It looks like plastic wrap.
Okay.
I've only seen like Huck from Scandal wrap people in plastic like this.
Me too.
But that's like a way, and so people will do that, and then they'll cut through that with knives, and it'll make it feel like your skin is coming off. Just the sensation of the plastic, like being ripped through.
That's risky.
Some people also just like to have their clothes cut off. And in that case, in terms of like safety, you just want to make sure you're not cutting towards the person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, don't wear clothes that you want to wear to work the next day. Like,
no, obviously. Thanks, Cosmo.
Yeah. All the Cosmo would never talk about this.
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
Like the BDSM.
It's like the BDSM Cosmo.
Yeah, this is hard to find. Like, usually it's like Bustle and all the major, you know, magazines will have stuff about the general fetishes and things we talk about. But there's very little on this. This is from the BDSM wiki. So it was a good resource.
I would engage in the clothing one if with like a skilled knifesman, you know.
Yeah, or just have somebody like violently unzip something.
I thought you were at least gonna say rip, and I was like, "Ooh, yeah, that's hot." And then you said unzip, and I looked at my hoodie, and I'm like, "No,
nah."
The pussy wet is just dried. Thank you.
Especially if the zipper gets stuck. It's like, oh, the people fiddling with bra straps. And
sorry.
My bad. Let me try again. It's like, nah. Like, imagine, like, you do a whole scene. Like, someone breaks into the back of the home. You have all this breakaway furniture. Like, there's been, a fight. You make it to the final bedroom, and they just can't handle the zipper. And it's like, oh, babe, I'm sorry. No, I messed up. And it's like...
And then everything starts fucking up. They, like, trip over their shoes and shit like that.
It's like,
the TV falls down.
It's like, just,
it's all fucked.
It's like, leave. Just go. Just go.
Just start again.
You have to fix. You have to put all those things back together. Oh, you can also light these knives on fire.
Whoa.
For fun. Like,
I like that just for the show.
Yeah. No, that's hot to me. And also, if you're going to store these knives, this was kind of scary. It's like scissors. You shouldn't have sharp things out. So you just want to make sure your knives are in a clear place where they can be seen. That way you don't trip and somebody impales themselves.
Good point.
Just don't keep a knife on the bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Always put it back. Like, don't get
too involved. Lazy with your knives like you do with your dildos.
Exactly. Except, like, dildo has no risk.
Yeah.
It's a zero risk factor. And I love the way that this guide ended. It said that knife play is a great way to build trust with a person.
I would like to have that trust there first,
right?
Before I get into this. It's like, yeah, I want to do knife play, and you, like, accidentally end up with the fucking murderer of the town.
It's like, oh, I should have known from, I don't know. It's just like, you shouldn't, like, don't marry a person you don't trust. Like, make sure the relationship is going well.
Yeah.
Before you engage in knife play.
Make sure they don't kill you.
Exactly. That's my fear with just meeting up with people. So, like, why would I meet up with a stranger to then play with knives? But it does make sense, though, because it's just like, yeah, I can trust you literally with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I got on knife play.
That was fun.
Yeah. I don't think I'd try it, but I know that like when I'm watching certain anime and swords are involved and there's like a sword to somebody's throat, I'm like, oh, that's kind of hot.
I would jerk off to knife play. Like light knife play. Like mostly just penetrative sex, but like if the foreplay involves some knife play and some spitting in someone's mouth, I'd probably come real hard to that.
And then it's all good. It's
yeah,
all
exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would too. I would.
All right.
See, that's knife play. And then, of course, if we're talking about blood and stuff, maybe that's what this episode should be called. I just couldn't figure it out.
Blood and stuff?
Yeah. But then there's also vampires.
Ho ho ho.
Edward
Cullen.
Oh my god. I was gonna
Nosferatu. It's the only two vampires I know.
Ew.
Oh, the Count from Sesame Street.
Oh, isn't there also like a chocolate count for like cereal?
Yeah. That guy exists too.
Yeah, so these are the hot vampires we know and love.
Yeah.
But so vampire romance novels. Like, remember when everybody was like, vampires?
Yeah, that was a huge thing.
I was always
Vampire Diaries, whole series, still on.
And Blue Bloods.
Has a spinoff and everything.
Oh, I've never seen
Blue Bloods.
Yeah, Blue Bloods is...
Did you mean say True Blood?
Or maybe True Blood.
Blue Bloods is about the NYPD.
Wait, hold on, but there's also a... You know what? There's a book that I read in...
Oh, okay.
As a youth, as a YA reader.
Okay. And that's probably called Blue Blood.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Not the show, though.
And there's also this book series I read called House of Night. I like, generally, I like fantastical high school or college style books, movies, anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you set people in a high school situation,
and there's some sort of mythical vampire, thing going on,
and there's one girl caught between choosing between, like, two guys who are equally hot, you have, like, the perfect romance thing for me. That's, like, every fanfic I've ever read, every fanfic I've ever written.
Instantaneously what?
I'm very predictable when it comes to my... Except, that's why I'm going to write a young adult novel, because when I'm trying to find, like, cool vampire stories, and if any of you listeners know any cool vampire stories, like, fantastical, set in a high school or college, that also feature people of color, let me know. Because every like book cover, it's like some thin pale white girl or white guys, and as a youth, I didn't really care because I wasn't woke. Mm-hmm. But now I see it, I'm like, okay, all right,
yeah, all right. You want to see yourself?
Yeah, but so vampires, I think they're hot. I like the idea of vampires. They're just like this, like they have this uncontrollable desire for you. And
yeah, that is pretty hot in theory. Yeah. I forgot about Blade, by the way.
Blade, what is that?
That's that black vampire from comic books. Ooh. Played by Wesley Snipes.
Oh, that's fun. I'll check that out.
Nah, you don't need to.
No? Alright.
You don't need to.
And then I'll avoid that. but yeah, it's like they're hot because usually they're also beautiful, stunningly gorgeous.
Yeah.
Unless Nosferatu was ugly, right? Am I right?
He was, but I think that, like, at some point, the cultural idea of vampire shifted into hotness.
Yeah, and they, like, charm you, like the Cullens.
Yeah, if anyone exactly.
listening hates Twilight, they're going to be very disappointed with this. Because I loved it. I read all the books, and I read the parody. I like all the movies.
You love it.
Yeah, I do.
You're a Twilight fan.
I really, it was a fun time.
They're also, what's that word, immortal.
Yeah,
I feel like that's why Nosferatu was ugly, because it was implied that he's been alive for mad years.
And there were also hideous vampires in Twilight.
Oh, really? Okay.
They were very old. Hmm. They were the, I'm not going to remember it. There's like some old Italian family where their skin was like paper thin and translucent.
Ah, fuck them.
Yeah, they were bad. The Volturi.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, they weren't hot. But vampires are generally hot, rich, wealthy, have an uncontrollable desire for you, and they're just like... charming, and like that's a part that's like what's built into them. It's like they just people can't resist them, so it's like this inherently like sexual creature, which ultimately is kind of dangerous, which according to Psychology Today, which is a website and I doubt it's facts, but I'll just say this for fun, if anyone wants to hire me as a research assistant, don't do it.
Like, I doubt it's a fact, but I think you can get away with it.
Yeah,
and it's like Donald Trump's entire debate strategy.
If I just say this, people will believe me. But it's the idea of, like, dangerous things, like, I wrote there, novel and dangerous creatures, which in theory activates the brain's reward system, because it's like thrill-seeking or adventure-seeking, which makes sense, like, why people, like, jump off cliffs into water, you know, like, cliff diving, skydiving, it, like, feels really good for people.
I just want to seek this thrill.
Oh no! I mean, that is
that makes sense though. It's like why people people always say that women do this, like date bad boys, but you know, guys date bad girls too, and you know that was heteronormative. People date people who they think are bad for them.
Yeah,
because it's like a thrill-seeking activity.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
And the danger of vampires is like there's these like hot, dangerous, wealthy, rich, attractive creatures. I like that.
It's that perpetual boner for vampires.
Yeah, that's been me.
All right, what about people who actually suck blood in real life?
I didn't care about them because they were so strange to me.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you found?
Yes, okay, all right.
There's been very little blood in this episode, other than the fact that I'm on my period right now.
that's all we need. so basically, they're people who... They're also energy suckers, so if they're in a crowd, they'll be, like, taking the energy out of the crowd. It's like, you know what it is? I don't want to shit on them because it's grounded in some form of mysticism, and I, you know, I don't value or devalue mysticism in like, it's like religion, mysticism, like it's all on the same scale or whatever. So I didn't want to disrespect the human vampires out there, but they will suck human blood or drink human blood or animal blood to get their sustenance. I looked up,
is it a sexual thing for them, or is it just like,
it's
I need this.
It's just like a lifeblood thing. Like they need it instead of like real food.
But they don't actually
need
it.
No.
Okay. Cause there's like water, you know,
and food.
Okay. Sorry, human vampires. That one human vampire listener is going to be like, fuck these bitches. I'm done with this goddamn podcast.
But it's the fact that we acknowledge that they were listening. That's going
to
keep
Yeah, exactly. Like, shout out to you.
For acknowledging
Hoes of the week.
I went to this website. I got to find it again. But I was looking up bloodlust. Like murder lust.
Oh,
and one of it was like one of those, like, it looked like a healthcare clinic site, and it was like two people, like on the header was like two people like eating watermelon.
What the
like because it was blood color, just like bloodlust, and it was just like, it's perfectly okay what you're feeling. Here are some symptoms. It was like very clinical, and it was just like dizziness, extreme thirst, and then at the very end, it was just like homicide.
I was like, yeah, I'm there. I've got that. Oh, wait. What the fuck?
It just ended with homicide as like a symptom of bloodlust.
Was this a real website or was it like a parody website?
You know, it's hard to tell sometimes.
It doesn't seem like it was written well.
It seems like it was written well.
Okay.
But sometimes when something is so like, seems so ridiculous to you, it might as well be a joke.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not.
Oh, man.
It makes me think of, like, you know, people are, oh, this might isolate a segment of our audience. People believe in, like, healing crystals.
This is definitely gonna... That's okay. I feel that our audience should know that we don't take much seriously.
No. I mean...
Although I do take African traditional religions seriously.
Yeah, no, I'm not in... Cause it's just... But you know, even when it comes to, like, crystals or using, like, stones and rocks, I do feel like, I like the earth, and I feel like minerals do things for you.
They're not rocks, Marie. They're minerals.
They're minerals. Sorry. What is that from?
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name? Hank.
Hank, yeah. He was going through it.
Oh, poor Hank.
Yeah. Poor Hank.
Yeah.
Anyway, aww. Yeah.
Took us through a dark moment in storytelling.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like stuff with like rocks and crystals, but I do believe in like, it's really whatever. This is going to sound so condescending, because if you said this to like a Christian or a Muslim person, do what makes you feel good. That's very rude. But I do believe in, nah, I'm just being an asshole at this point. I can't walk away from this. I can't like backtrack from this statement. But like, if it works, if it's working for you, it gives you a sense of peace and you believe in it, then it's true for you. And that's fine. As long as you're not going to murder somebody, like, you know, homicide shouldn't be a side effect.
Yeah, as long as you're not hurting other people. As long as the person whose blood you're drinking consents to you drinking their blood. Yeah.
Yeah?
Where are they getting this blood from?
I don't know, because I was getting really creeped out by it.
Oh, man. There's some research tonight.
There's, like, one YouTube video with a woman, like, I know you guys have asked me for more spells and energy sucking, and it had like 300 views, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't watch videos below 300 views.
Yeah, I didn't want to. But yeah, so vampires. Oh, here's a recommendation.
It did disturb me when you said animal blood, though, but I guess it'd be, yeah.
There's like blood sausage. And blood soup, in an episode of Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown. And he went to Thailand and just had a raw blood soup, and I think it was like, I don't know what the blood was from, but it was just red. It was warm. And then it was like, there was like lemongrass in it. Like it had been filtered through lemongrass or something. And it was just blood.
I would probably drink that, honestly.
I know you would. You're a very adventurous food
person.
Yeah,
I will try a lot of stuff.
And just like...
I watch that weird show, what is it called? Like Odd Foods with Andrew Zimmern or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that looks delicious. Give me those cow balls, man.
Do you eat ants?
Would I eat ants? Yeah, probably.
Crickets?
Yeah.
I just, what if I can see it's like exoskeleton or endoskeleton or whatever. Like, I see the mm-hmm. crust of its body. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I can't even drink cow's head soup, and that's mad Jamaican, you know?
Yeah. I was just thinking about cow cod soup the other day.
What is cow cod soup?
It's made of cow dick. I used to drink that a lot when I was a kid. Apparently it's an aphrodisiac. I didn't even know. It wasn't doing anything for me, but they would, like, serve it at, like, huge family functions. Like, why the fuck are you guys serving this? Why not chicken soup? It was cow dick soup. But it was great.
Why
I
not
miss it.
Chicken
I want
soup?
Some.
Huh? Why not just chicken soup?
I don't fucking know.
Or some curry, or some curry goat. Something like
that. Got a country-ass family, apparently. I mean, there was curry goat there, too. There was just also cow cod soup.
I guess you're just using whatever's around, you know?
Using we got some leftover cow dick.
We have a surplus of cow dick this month. We gotta get rid of this.
Yeah.
So if you guys like vampire stuff, or if anybody here is, like, loves vampire stories, recommend me some stuff, please.
Mm-hmm. Or identifies as a human vampire.
Please hit
Ooh,
us up.
Ooh, if anyone is into, like, knife play or blood play or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your stories.
Exactly. You could be the entire, like, fuck it for an episode and just interview you. Like, if you have stories about stuff, like, don't we can do a voice change, or we can put a filter on your voice.
Exactly. If you're embarrassed because dumb bitches like us make fun of you on their podcast,
just come onto this podcast and we won't.
And then, like, make us look dumb.
Exactly.
You know? Like, well, actually.
And then we'll be like, oh, damn, sorry.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, no, we'll just do that. quick recommendation for people who like vampire anime. The series Vampire Knight is very fun. I think you can find episodes on Crunchyroll, but it's definitely also on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's great. It's very hot vampires.
Thank you.
It's that style of, like, hot animation that I love.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of Itachis, basically, if you guys like Naruto. It's just this one, like, man, and, like, any anime that has a man who looks like this,
you love
I'm
it.
In.
You
yeah.
get rocks off to it.
Exactly.
Alright.
So that's it for F It.
That's also it for the Inner Ho Uprising. I'm going to cut short a little bit this week. Guys, keep sending in your fuck yous to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, you can even...
We'll be back in the studio next week. We're going to record some live. You can follow us, Slam Pow Productions, at @slam_pow on Twitter and Instagram and Periscope. You can find us on Facebook by searching Slam Pow Productions. You can find us on YouTube by searching Slam Pow Productions. You can listen to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google Play, guys. So if you didn't know that, now you know. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud if you want. Review us on iTunes if you want. And yeah, you can follow me personally at SlamRid with 2 D's on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find me at Samanners, SamAnnerz on Snapchat and Facebook.
You can find me as Volcano Vulva on Snap Inc. Because they rebranded.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. I was asked to do, I had to, like, sign in again or whatever. And it, I had to, yeah, they're Snap Inc. now.
Okay. That's what happens when I don't have iOS 10. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I don't know why that happened.
Everyone hates me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. and you can also follow me on Instagram at Shanika Powell.
Cool. Yeah.
That's my first and last name.
All right. Thank you for that. And we're going to use our police trackers to find you.
Yeah.
Just go for it. Now leave me with a little something sexy.
It's just a scratch. This is very old wine. I hope you will like it.
Aren't you drinking?
I never drink wine.
Well? It's delicious.
And now I'll leave you.
Well, good night.
Good night, Mr. Renfield.